Hey there, this is Seth Warris from Channel 9 coming to you from the beautiful city of Mechelen in Belgium for Techorama 2016.
Indeed.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm very fine, thank you.
I'm here with Laurent Bougnon. Did you see that?
Nice.
So tell us who you are and what you do for those that might not know you.
All right, so I'm a senior director for a firm called Identity Mine. I live in Zurich, Switzerland, but a lot of our clients are in the US, so I'm in the US quite a lot. In fact, I just came back from Evolve 2 days ago, yes. Which was in Orlando, that was fun. And you know, I work on multiple platforms, but mostly client applications, that's my gig, and mostly native client applications, that's what I like.
So there was a couple of things I wanted to talk to you
sure.
about. I wanted to talk to you at Build, because you were working on this really interesting HoloLens project,
mm-hmm.
and then you started talking to me about some of the stuff you're talking about here at Techorama,
yep.
and I want to touch on that. So let's start with the HoloLens. Tell
sure.
us about that project you built.
So. The HoloLens project is, so we've been active with the HoloLens team since last year. We were one of the five agencies that were selected to basically work with them early, which was a real honor and also a little bit hard because we couldn't talk about it at all. So it was really a very, very secretive project. I'm not a HoloLens developer myself. I dabble with it, but I was helping the team with IDs and with stuff like that. So I know the project quite well. So the project we showed at Build was a flight visualization system.
I see.
So it's something like, you know, you have some websites where you can go and see flights coming in on an airport
sure.
in two dimension. And the two dimension is a little bit frustrating because you have no clue how, you know, the vertical separation is like critical, right?
Uh-huh.
If two planes collide, they have to collide on three dimension, not just two. So, and so basically what we did is take this data, which is available, you know, as a commercial service, but basically it's available on the web, put it in 3D and go with that. And so that's a really cool experience because you see planes coming around you and like that. We have zoom levels, so you can basically zoom so much that you're in the scene at the tower position and see the planes coming in.
Wow.
You can zoom out and see the planes from outside, like a kind of a good view if you want. And it's really fun, and we even have features like hearing the ATC conversation, the air traffic control conversation,
right.
which is using directional sound, or actually spatial sound. It's
right.
cool. And that's really cool because it means that you will hear the sound coming from the actual plane. So if you turn your head, the HoloLens is mapping this with the two small speakers that they have. And it's very impressive because you know very well where the sound is coming from. So it's an added dimension to the whole experience, which is really fun.
So that's an interesting thing because, I mean, when you're talking about developing for HoloLens, it feels like there's all this extra stuff you need to take account of that you wouldn't need to otherwise.
That's correct.
Tell us about sort of the challenges of that.
Well, I guess going from 2D to 3D, it's really a whole new dimension.
Sure.
It's a case, literally,
a new dimension, yeah.
literally, right?
Yeah.
But really, I guess, one thing which really struck me when I started dabbling with it is the whole 3D mathematics that I learned at school. Finally, I understand why I learned that, which is, oh my God.
Linear algebra is fantastic.
I know, right? And so it's in the end, it's really all about vectors and matrix. And now when you gaze at something, when you point at something, it's a 3D vector. And so you need to think, you know, in terms of vectors and not just, you know, angles anymore, right? And so it's a whole new thing. So I guess that's a real challenge. Honestly, Unity and, you don't have to use Unity, but it's probably a good recommendation for people who start. Because Unity is helping with a lot of the really hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's C# coding. So once you understand the APIs, it's okay. So I would say the math is probably the biggest challenge, like getting the mathematics right. And after that, you have to take into account it's a mobile device, so it doesn't render as fast as a big
right.
desktop PC water cooled. You need to be a little bit careful about that. You need to tone down your holograms a little bit. One thing we notice is that our clients, our partners tend to send us, they tell, oh, we have great, you know, 3D models, and they send us the AutoCAD model, and it's way too big.
Yeah, too many triangles.
Too many triangles, exactly. So you need to really reduce that. So one of the recommendations that we found out very early in the VR, AR game is, you know, hire a very good 3D artist. And if you have a good 3D artist who is able to reduce the complexity of the model without losing too much of the definition, that's a huge advantage. So I would say that for hobbyists, it's going to be really hard. And some hobbyists already have devices because Microsoft was
sure.
giving them on the first you know, first in, first out basis. But I think for a one-man show, it's going to be really hard to do compelling applications. If you want a really compelling application, it's at least a two-person job, right? A good developer and a good designer. And so that's probably even more important than in 2D. I mean, in 2D, designers are super important already. But
you can get away without it.
I guess at some point, I mean, a lot of hobbyists don't really have designers, and their applications are okay, right? Microsoft helped us with XAML theming and stuff like that. But in 3D, if you don't have a good hologram, it's just not going to look good. And so you really want to have a good artist. So game industries are providing those people, and that's what you want.
So that's awesome. So we talked about HoloLens. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff you're talking about here at Techorama.
Yeah, so I was really happy and surprised a little bit that since last year I see a renewed interest for WPF, Windows right. Presentation Foundation, which has been my first XAML love. So I fell into XAML with WPF 10 years ago, right? I mean, WPF is turning 10 this year.
Happy birthday. And
yes, it was, really published, released for the first time in 2006. So when you think about it, mind blows. And so there is still a lot of interest in, especially in enterprise, but not only, industry. We do a lot of industrial and enterprise projects in WPF. And I'm really happy to be speaking about the new things. So new things are mostly around the tooling, I would say. There is XAML Edit and Continue, which is awesome. It means that you need the latest Visual Studio to have that. But if you have it, you can basically, run your app in debug mode and modify the XAML, save, and immediately you'll see the change in your running app, which is really cool because it helps us to make sure that the design is perfect, even better than in Blend. Blend is already fantastic, but it's still not runtime. Still design time. And so when you go to runtime, you can really do edit and continue. The new profilers are great because they show you exactly how much rendering your page is taking, how much a layout is taking, right. This kind of thing. So you can simplify your layout if you have perf problems, these kind of things. I'm talking about some graphic features that you don't have in Universal Apps yet. So I start the app basically by saying, well, that's, Universal Apps are exciting and all, but there are still a few things that they cannot do, and especially in the graphics department. So stuff like radial brushes and non-rectangular clips and those kind of really hard things. And then I speak about Centennial, which is an exciting way to put classic application, not just WPF, but any classic application in the Windows Store.
Right.
And so basically with that, you'll reach new audiences and maybe new monetization as well, because suddenly it's a good way to make sure also that your users get updated. It's a good way to make sure that they know where to get your classic application from right. without any malware, without any viruses or any other things.
And it's a good way to just sort of deploy your app through the store. I mean,
it's very easy.
Way to do it,
It's like click once on steroids, really. Yeah. I mean, click once was already a good way to deploy your app, I guess, with some limitations.
Sure.
But I think Centennial is probably going to bring a renewed interest into classic applications, and a lot of people are really interested in seeing that. So it's fun. So I talk about that. And then I speak about new features that they just showed at Evolve. So I just came back from Xamarin Evolve, mm-hmm. and I was really surprised and happy to see that they have a new feature called Workbooks.
Yes,
and
I'm a fan.
Yes, and Miguel de Casa is very invested into that. He was super happy to show that. And so basically it's a way to, it's very great for teaching and training. And so what you do is that it's a Markdown project, so a Markdown file, which is basically a text file. Mm-hmm. You can add all kinds of styles and documentation and text and images and all that. And then what Xamarin did is that now they have a C# block into that. And this C# block, you can run it and execute it. So you start the workbook, you say, hey, I want to run only until here, and there is a small window opening. And they made it available for iOS, Android, and WPF.
Wow.
Which was a great surprise for me. And immediately I thought last week, I need to put that into my presentation, right? Oh. So I'll talk about that. And they have already some samples on GitHub, so some complex WPF applications that you can run. And it's great for teaching because you can tell your students or the people you're training, go until here, run it, and then you understand what happens, and then put it one step further and run it again, and then you'll see just that step. And so it's also great for documenting a project if you want to you know, send samples to a client,
sure.
but including the documentation of the sample. So it's not a production tool, it's really a training tool, a teaching tool, but it's really exciting. And the fact that they have it for WPF makes it you know, even more interesting for me, so that's cool.
So let's see if I understand it right. It's a markdown file with code.
Markdown file, yep.
And what you do is when that markdown file is rendered,
yep.
you can run it to a certain spot, or?
Well, it runs into an application called the Xamarin Inspector.
Okay.
So basically you start Xamarin Inspector, it immediately starts a new file, but you can also open existing files.
Right.
And then after that you can modify the files in the inspector directly, so they have styles, they have these kind of things. The inspector is a little bit simple as an editor, but basically since it's a markdown file, you can take any markdown editor
right.
after that, and the C# file is the C# snippet,
right.
it's just going to be ignored by the editor, but you can, you know, change the documentation, whatever, and then go back to the inspector to type the code, and you're done.
That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty amazing, yeah.
So what did you think of the announcement at Build? Once you were at Evolve, regarding Xamarin being acquired and how everything is
yeah.
going, what do you think about that?
Well, the acquisition came as a little bit of a shock for me because we've been hearing about acquisition of Xamarin by Microsoft, and I almost said of Microsoft by Xamarin, which is kind of the spirit,
yeah.
right? It feels this way sometimes. The acquisition has been rumored for many years already. When it finally came up, I was at first thinking, oh wow, finally they did that, what does it mean, right? My general impression is that everybody is really happy about the acquisition. So I spoke to a lot of people from Nat Friedman, who, you know, the former CEO,
sure.
I guess, and Miguel, who are obviously very happy about that, but they were working on it, so you would expect them to be
yeah.
happy. But the thing which really made me happy is that I spoke also to a lot of developers, like Xamarin employees, and everybody is really excited about the acquisition. As far as I could tell at Build, everybody at Microsoft is very excited about the acquisition as well. It's a good fit, you
yeah.
know, it makes sense. And to be honest, it's going to be to make life easier for us when we speak to clients about Xamarin projects, the licensing issue, and I mean issue, it was just, you know, fairly expensive and something that you have to add to your list of constraints.
Sure.
That being totally off the table because now Xamarin is free for everybody, pretty much. You know, it means that it's going to make life a lot easier for people who do Xamarin work. So yeah, great
well,
stuff.
That's awesome. I'm pretty excited about it too. Where can people go to find out more about you and what you're working on?
They can go to my website, which is Galasoft, GALASOFT.CH,
mm-hmm.
Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And on the professional side, we have IdentityMind.com, which is our you know firm's website, and we have portfolios there, a lot of applications we did. So yeah, that's a good place to start.
Well, awesome. Thanks for spending some time
Absolutely.
With us.
Absolutely.
Thanks
you.
So much for being with us again. We're in Mechelen in Belgium for Techorama 2016. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.